The character planted in the audience that you'd never expect to be on the payroll. And when she plays her big scene, she creates more heat than you could ever imagine. Now here's the secret. She's a stunt granny.
Kids, welcome to another edition of Stunt Granny Audio. This is, this is kind of weird. I'm still the host, but with us coming out of retirement is one Eric Nelson. How you doing, Eric?
This is kind of weird, but you are right. I don't know if it was retirement. It was not self-imposed exile, but anyway, yep, back in the saddle again, as Aerosmith likes to say.
Oh, yes, Aerosmith does like to say that a lot.
They like to say a lot of things. They like to tell you that a dude looks like a lady. They like blowjobs in elevators.
Yeah, that would be fun to get a blowjob in the elevator.
Yeah, living it up when I'm going down. Wait a minute. Now he says, I think those are the lyrics when I'm going down. Well, I guess the guy can do that too, so. But that'd be even more difficult for the guy. Whatever.
You do not have nearly enough time on any elevator.
No.
Like,
God,
I mean,
no,
you really need to, like, just hit that emergency button and just hope that you're stuck in it for a long period of time.
Yeah, really. And that the alarms aren't distracting or that the rescue crew doesn't come to save you.
You just start pounding away. You go and get in rhythm with them as they're trying to break open the door.
Yes, awesome. That would explain why Ultimate Warrior had the casket so torn apart when The Undertaker threw him in, because he was humping in rhythm to Dave Hedner trying to break him out of there.
Oh, man.
Aerosmith was just filthy. Like, every song up until that shitty Don't Want to Miss a Thing that someone else wrote for them was just filthy. Just ridden with sex and sperm. Just disgusting. It's like how every single Katy Perry song is about getting or giving a blowjob.
Oh, really?
Oh, dude, it's ridiculous. I gotta call up like a Katy Perry's greatest hits or something. I will.
I am pretty sure I've not ever heard one of her songs. I've seen her tits and her bare ass. I don't care if it was really white. I'm good with it.
It is quite white, yes. There's a song called Peacock, and I don't remember the lyrics, but I know that's about blowjobs. Firework, make him go, and shoot across the sky. Like, come on. Oh, this is funny. 1 hour ago, on the blog Opposing Views, Katy Perry and John Mayer's neighbors complain about their loud sex. That's kind of gross, really.
Yes, it is.
Very loud.
But
sex.
Now they're just old and gross now.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, old. Yeah, she's 28.
Oh, no, I meant Aerosmith.
Oh, Aerosmith. I thought you meant Katy Perry and John Mayer.
No.
No, yeah, Aerosmith, yeah, they're disgusting. Who would want to look at fucking Steven Tyler, who looks like somebody got a rag wet and then, like, wrung it out lengthwise. He looks like a wrung-out wet rag, singing about giving blowjobs, feet flying up in the air, and kiss my sass for ass, and whatever the else, honking on Bobo. What a bunch of filth.
Oh, man.
Here we go. I'm going to play some... This is my type of music. Here we go. All right. Here we go. That's my type of music. I hope everybody heard that, or else Jeremy's going to have to find that and edit it out.
Yeah, I don't know. It didn't come across all that well on...
Here's what I'll do. Here's the perfect answer for that. I'm going to link it on Twitter, and it's going to be amazing. So everybody who's listening to... Yeah, if you're listening to this show after the fact, go to our Twitter account, @StuntGranny, and look at all the goofy shit we post.
That comes in handy.
Oh, yeah.
And, what did we want to start with here this evening? Are we go straight straight for the kill and the big news there? Or do you think we can go smaller first?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe we should knock out the big one first. Maybe we should pretend this is Saturday night's main event from the 80s and put the Hulk Hogan match on first.
Ooh. I was always excited about that Sunday morning because if the Hulk Hogan match was first, I got to watch it before I went to church.
Exactly, yep. They planned that just right.
Yeah, then I could watch the rest after I got back home. It was
yeah.
Much better then.
You got it.
Well, I mean, I guess right now Ryback is somewhat going through the WWE roster like an old school Hulk Hogan. More like an old school Goldberg. But he officially, as of this past Monday, has a chance at the WWE title. And according to Chris Jericho, he should win the title at Hell in a Cell. What say you, Mr. Nelson?
I think that's a very bold thought process on the part of Chris Jericho, but the best part about Chris Jericho is that he has always been bold in spouting off his opinions. He was recently interviewed on the Busted Open satellite radio show. Let's see, go to facebook.com/BustedOpen for more information. And the question was, this Sunday night, is it this Sunday? Yeah, this Sunday night is Hell in a Cell.
Sunday.
Yeah, and the question on the docket for Chris Jericho is, do you think Ryback should win on Sunday? He actually said, yes, I think Ryback should win on Sunday. He said, I don't know anything. I don't have any insider information. I don't work for WWE. But he said, the number one thing people bitch about is that there's nothing new, and it's the same old with John Cena. Well, this is a chance to create a new guy. This is a chance to create a new star instantly. He said, the comparisons are to Goldberg. Most of the fans in this day and age have no idea who Goldberg is and don't care. It's funny, though, because, Kevin, you had mentioned the Goldberg-like streak, and it's pretty hard to deny the Goldberg chant happening during every Ryback match. So,
they've kind of backed off of them a little bit, but yeah, they're still definitely there.
Well, the brilliance is, and I don't know if this was, now Jericho talked later on about the idea of Vince McMahon always making a negative into a positive, and talking, he's referencing John Cena's injury, which left the door open for Ryback to be the main event at Hell in a Cell, which is an interesting point in and of itself. That, you know, kind of surprising that WWE didn't just, like, plug in Randy Orton or, you know, any of the other usual suspects. They went with this kind of unproven Ryback. And so anyway, I don't know where I was going exactly with that point about Jericho and what he said about Cena, but, you know, what am I trying to get at here? It's interesting to see the direction that WWE decided to go with that.
Right.
But more to your point, like you asked if it was, you know, if it was a good timing or worth, you know, and worth investing any amount of time in Ryback to do this. I don't know that he's the right guy. Like, it's interesting that Jericho puts this opinion out there and
right.
He bases it on an interesting thought that, hey, if you want something new, you're going to get something new. This is going to make him the most overstar in the company. It's going to put him in a money-drawing position, and that's kind of where I fell off the boat with the whole thing. It's like, I'm sorry. At this point in life, I don't see Ryback as somebody who's going to draw money for this company. Yeah, so I don't know. Jericho said it. I don't totally buy it, but, you know, that's just my opinion, but I'd be curious to see if that's your opinion, too.
Yeah, no, because I think I babbled a little too much before we got on air. To me, Ryback just, he doesn't even have that level of push behind him as Goldberg did at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they've been doing okay, and they've started to ramp him up here recently. But he's still well short of carrying the WWE title.
Well, if you look at it in comparison to Goldberg, I mean, that was probably, gosh, time-wise, it's close. You know, Goldberg kind of kicked off his win streak, I want to say, in, like, September of 97. And by, my gosh, I guess it was June or July. It was July of 98. He beat Hogan for the belt. Time-wise, Ryback has not been around that long. His win streak hasn't taken that long. He hasn't taken the same path as Goldberg, who actually had a couple of feuds along the way and won some secondary titles when those titles meant something. Which, you know, even if he, I mean, God, if having beat Antonio Cesaro real quick on Friday Night SmackDown, and no one's probably going to give a shit because the U.S. belt doesn't really mean anything, like you and I had talked about the other day on Gmail chat. The trajectory of Ryback and Goldberg, like, it's not a fair comparison because there are so many differences. And, yeah, Ryback really, like, I don't feel like the crowd is that behind him like they were with Goldberg. There's not that, like, groundswell like there was with Goldberg. Not to mention, you know, you could see 8 months down the road that Goldberg was going to be, like, the savior of WWE and beat the evil NWO and the evil Hollywood Hogan. Well, it's like, I don't know if people really want to see the evil CM Punk be beaten yet. So I guess those are a couple of differences.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's kind of the funny thing is that I don't particularly, because, like, when I was reading Jericho's argument, I'm like, yeah, man, like, as I started kind of going along, I'm like, and he said that that heels are meant to lose and that he can bounce back from it.
Yes.
And I think he can. Like, that's part of it that I found myself buying into.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't also necessarily think, like, like you pointed out already, that that Ryback is quite ready. Like, he definitely gets a lot of cheers.
Now he does, yes. Now that they've got, you're right, the Goldberg chants have tapered off and they've been replaced by the Feed Me More. Oh, I know where I was going with that, the whole positive into a negative thing. And then I transitioned off into Cena being injured, turning into a positive for Ryback and the alternate main event thing. Sorry, that was where I was going with that, was they had this negative of Ryback getting Goldberg chant every time he'd step in the ring. Well, what did they do? But they piped in a new chant, this Feed Me More thing, and now people have kind of, you know, taken onto that. They've kind of latched onto that. So, yes, he is progressively getting a better reaction. And not to interrupt your thought, but like I said, I just don't feel like there's that groundswell for him. I think it's manufactured, and I don't think people would buy it yet if he beat Punk.
Yeah, no, I mean, that definitely, it comes down to that for me, too, is that he just doesn't seem like there's enough there to warrant going for the jugular like that.
Right.
Like, he's not, like, to me, I threw out this idea to my girlfriend. I'm not sure if I mentioned it in the Almost Live and Definitely Half-Assed review of Raw. I was wondering if Lesnar would interfere on behalf of CM Punk and have a little feud with Ryback.
Right. That's actually something that's going around on the internet right now, too, as a possibility.
Oh, okay. I have not had the time to read a whole lot. So if that idea has flown by, I guess not surprised, but also did not read it anywhere.
Right, yeah. Well, no, that to me makes it kind of a logical possibility. I wouldn't be surprised to see that too. Honestly, like, part of me thinks at this point, WWE's been pretty good with their clean finishes. Even, like, their surprising clean finishes. The finish that you wouldn't expect to have happen. I could see the Lesnar thing, you know, because of CM Punk's affiliation with Paul Heyman. I could see it because he's been off TV for a while. I could see it because he's a monster who could tear his way through Hell in a Cell. I could also honestly see WWE just going with Ryback winning at Hell in a Cell just for the moment of it, just to give – that's another thing. They love giving new guys a short title reign in the hopes that it'll catch on. They did it with Sheamus. When I think about this, I go all the way back to when they did it with Undertaker. He hadn't even been there for a year. He was like 1 year to the pay-per-view he had been there, and he beats Hulk Hogan for the world title. They love sneaking in these little tiny mini title reigns for a guy's first world title reign. I could see Ryback beating Punk clean, and then Heyman doing the rematch clause thing the following night on Raw, and then Lesnar comes out and blah blah blah. I might be stretching things out a little bit, but whatever.
Yeah, I mean, hey, if we're gonna play, somewhat reasonable possibilities for what's going to happen this Sunday. I don't think that wasn't beyond the pale or anything of that nature.
Sure.
Like I said, I kind of agreed with that part of Jericho's argument. Like, Punk losing that belt, you know, at a certain time frame doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean that they couldn't get him back on track to be fighting Rock at WrestleMania. Hell, have him win it back at Survivor Series.
Right, yeah, that's the thing. And the idea that Rock is going to wrestle whoever the champion is at Royal Rumble, and they've built up Punk so much in that spot that there's no way that it's not going to be Punk. So, yeah, I mean, what the hell? Have Ryback win it on Sunday, so what? You know, so Punk's 300-whatever, it would be 343 at that point.
Yeah.
So what? The streak is over, big deal, replaced by a different streak, and then the next night he wins it back, whatever. Jericho is exactly right, though. That's the thing about heels, is that heels are there to lose. They're there to get the baby face over and lose and be talented enough in the ring and on the microphone to get their heat back so next time they wrestle another baby face, they can put them over. So he's exactly right. It's just too bad that it's Ryback.
that is a bit of a problem.
Yeah. Man, if only they'd kept Evan Bourne around. Boy, he'd be so over right now. It would so be him.
Oh, and how much of a smartass are you being right now?
Yeah, no shit. Had a total combined main event weight of 300 pounds. Evan Bourne and CM Punk, the last fucking thing that Vince McMahon wants to promote.
Yeah, need to have at least one big guy in there.
Yeah, or have Triple H wrestle 23 guys on the roster as the co-main event. I've got a question for you about Punk. I think we've talked enough about the Ryback, where you and I agree that he's not the right guy at the right time, but it's interesting to see Jericho's point of view.
Like I said, he almost had me convinced until I finally, for the first time maybe ever in my life, agree with Pauly Shore there on
.net. God, Pauly Shore, that's awesome. CM Punk, here's another piece of news, and I'm putting this in the context of Kevin knows more about this than I do. Punk wrote the introduction for the upcoming Avengers vs. X-Men hardcover. The quote in the press release about this says, say I'm flattered to write the intro for the biggest comic book crossover ever would be blah, 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 whatever else he said. So kind of help me out here with this. Is this, like, seriously a big deal in the comic book world? Like, I mean, he's a big comic book fan. Is this, like, his wet dream come true or what?
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, there were always the video games, I believe. I don't know if they did Avengers versus X-Men in that. I'm trying to think of, because I don't know, it was like the Street Fighter games.
Okay.
Or no, hold on, not Street Fighter. What the shit am I talking about? Like a Mortal Kombat type of deal.
Yeah, okay.
I think it was a little bit before Mortal Kombat. But I think they had a video game that was that might have been Avengers versus X-Men. But I believe that this is the case, that this is the first time these two sets of heroes have clashed. And I'm not, you know, I'm not too familiar with it. I just was reading it. He was starting to read it as we were getting into it.
Okay.
But, I guess it'd be really cool. It's like a 12-part miniseries.
Okay.
12-issue bi-monthly event. So, and it says, well, and he said, and I'm trying to look to see what the storyline names are, but none of them ring a bell, and the artists don't ring a bell either, to be completely honest with you.
Okay.
So I used to know some of them. Like, I collected comic books more in the past, honestly.
Okay.
Than I have recently. But X-Men to me was always big, and I'm always good with you know, anything X-Men, and movies or comic books, so I should probably actually try to get this.
Cool.
It's talking about rotating artists, and I guess it's supposed to be some of the best artists and some of the best writers right now for comic books. And I don't know. To me, I don't quite understand the downside to this. I mean, I think comics are pretty well written for the most part. Especially novels like this, or Walking Dead, or I'm trying to think of which movie absolute bombed that I really loved.
Battleship.
Oh,
no,
The Watchmen. Watchmen.
The Watchmen. Yeah, yeah, okay.
It did not do too well in the theaters, and a lot of people disliked it. But I thought that it really did a good job following the comic book, which was excellent.
Cool.
So, yeah, no, I mean, I'm sure it's pretty badass to be writing an intro for this.
I'm thinking it's along the lines of if, like, Weezer ever invited me to write their liner notes.
that's probably a good way to put it.
Yeah, cool. All right. I can get behind this. Like, seriously, some of the only comics I ever had, like, I had a couple of Spider-Man comics. I don't know anything about, like, writers and artists. I don't know anything about series or, like, you know, oh, this was a redux of this, or this was, like, a backstory for that. I don't know any of that stuff. I probably had, like, the shittiest Spider-Man comic ever. It's probably, like, the equivalent of getting Barry Bonds' like, fourth season baseball card out of a fucking box of Post Honey Smacks or something like that. Like, it's not worth the goddamn paper it was printed on. Plus, I had, like, two pro wrestling comics. I had the free Ultimate Warrior comic that came out attached to a WWF magazine from 1996. And maybe a second one, now that I think about it. Hell, I don't even know. So I'm just, like, completely clueless to this world. It intrigues me. I've got a lot of friends who are into it.
Yeah, no, I had two phases. One was when I was a kid, and I mean, I have some old stuff. Like, my older brother gave me, like, one of the original Ghost Rider comics. I think it was, like, issue 4 or something like that.
Okay.
And so I collected a lot when I was a kid, and I did G.I. Joe and Transformers and X-Men. And then my end of high school, beginning of college, because Jeremy and I used to go down to the comic book stores all together.
Yep.
to like go pick up our comics every week. It was always a Friday walk for us.
Cool.
And he would actually be the best person on staff to ask this question to.
Cool. Well,
I believe he still goes and talks or goes and picks up some comics. I've been out for a while, but I'm never offended when something drops in my lap like that.
Cool. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll put something on Twitter. It'll probably end up. I'll put something on our Facebook page. How does that sound? I think that sounds like a great idea. And then
I got the post up there. So
you are on point, my brother. Cool. All right. My gosh. I'm trying to think of what else is on the agenda. Hopefully you have it directly in front of you.
No, because you gave it to me, and I guess I could look at my phone. But
I don't know if you want to jump to this already. We had a little game in mind. This is a different game, not our usual match game, but not the newly tagged game from Monday Night Raw this week, which about makes somebody want to fucking gag that they would even try to put that shit on Monday Night Raw this day and age. Like episode 2009, it makes me want to barf.
It's 2009? It's that recent?
Yeah, that's a good point. They were doing dumb shit like that for 10 years. Like, this is your life worked back in October of 99. Let's...
If I keep on hearing how that was a great segment, I just want to injure somebody. It's just like, I don't give a shit if the ratings were what the ratings were. It was terrible.
You know what? I didn't mind it, and in hindsight, it's just a little more unbearable, but to me, not much. I'm more along the lines of, what have you done for me lately? Like, okay, one cutesy little game show knockoff worked at one point, but since then, I swear to God, I've seen Jonathan Coachman lose a game of musical chairs to a midget. Kane and Daniel Bryan play the newlywed game. You know, come on. I've seen fucking Daniel Bryan in a soda drinking contest.
Completely forgot about the soda drinking contest.
Yeah, like what other dumb bullshit? So what other games can WWE come up with? Why, Kevin, why don't you enlighten us on some of the new games that WWE has come up with?
Well, the WWE, they will sell anything. And by anything, my girl was kind enough to get me a couple of presents for a Sweetest Day, which I had told her was a bullshit holiday.
As evident by the gift that you got, which you're about to tell us about.
No, the one gift was very good. The one gift was Get Jiro, the graphic novel, actually going back to the comics, that Anthony Bourdain wrote.
Whoa, I didn't know he did that. That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my
God,
that's cool as shit.
Yeah, so it's called Get Jiro, and she got me that. But more importantly for this broadcast, she also got me WWE Mad Libs. World's greatest word game.
Yeah.
And I hope Roger Price and Leonard Stern are at least getting some type of kickbacks for inventing these things, I suppose.
Or I hope they die a miserable death. And by the way, this book is available right now on the Barnes & Noble Marketplace, starting at one penny.
I would guess she paid more than a penny for it.
Probably. Oh, so here's the overview on BarnesandNoble.com. With over 21 raucously funny stories about WWE superstars, wrestling matches, and more, this Mad Libs is tons of fun for any wrestling fan. Well, let's find out, Kevin. Do you want to flip through your book there and find a Mad Libs and then lob some parts of speech at me, and we'll see what we can come up with from WWE Mad Libs?
I have my laptop up and ready here to type in your answers. Now, unfortunately, I'm going to be doing a little poke and hunt here. Okay. So if you don't mind,
that's honestly, that was what I called my entire honeymoon. So.
Oh boy. Yeah, just leaving that one alone.
Okay, sure.
I'm going with the very first one because we all know. Should I say the title of it now, or do you wait to say the title?
I want you to wait, just so. Yeah, I just want okay. the authenticity of the parts of speech, and then I love to see how they fall into place.
Outstanding.
Okay.
Then I need a noun.
A noun is a thing, and a thing is a. Let me see. I'm gonna look around and just look at. It's not funny, but I see a pillow in front of me. Let's see what happens when we put a pillow in there.
Alrighty. I'm sure the hilarity will ensue.
Okay.
I need a verb.
You need a verb? A verb being an action word? How about, let's see. I need to think of something that's not the most physical action in the world. So how about, let's see. Would it be a present tense verb, like eat? Like I'm going to eat food? Eat?
Eat. Okay.
Okay.
We can go with eat. Now, please continue our grammar lesson. What exactly is an adverb?
An adverb is a word that describes a verb. And so if we were talking about eat, it would possibly be things like quickly or, hurriedly. I need to come up with a good one, though. Let's see what Google comes up with for adverbs. Let's see if I can get an adverb generator. A list of adverbs. See, I can do the whole. How about the word eagerly?
Okie dokie. Well, I was using my typing hand to drink beer, so one second.
This is multitasking for the sake of the crowd.
Yep. adjective.
An adjective. Oh, my gosh. Let's see. First of all, what the hell is an adjective? A word that describes a noun?
Yes.
Well, you think I would know this stuff off the top of my head, but it's late. It's a describing word. So an adjective that would be funny. I'm stuck on the food thing, so I might go with the word portly. I must have Matt Hardy on the brain or something.
Well, you might have the man that is mashing Jeremy's tigers right now. You might have him on in your mind. Kung Fu Panda is kind of portly.
Nice.
We need another adjective.
Another adjective. Okay. We are in here. I'm going to use the word. Is nervous? Nervous would be an adjective, I think. It's a feeling, but it's an adjective. Yeah.
Plural noun.
A noun. Let's see. I'm going to use. I wish this were funnier in my head. I kind of want to go with sledgehammer just to see if it fits. I'm just curious if sledgehammer is going to fit in this story. Because I guarantee if there are 21 raucously funny ad-libs in here, 18 of them are about Triple H, and he wrote them all. And then he wrote the review of the book.
We need a place.
A place? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm thinking Super 8. Super 8 is kind of a place.
Yep. Yes, it definitely is.
Granted, it's a proper name, but whatever.
Oh, no. But it is a location. My friend used to run a Motel 6. That's what I was wondering about Super 8. But
nice.
Noun.
Another noun. Man, these always kill me because you kind of just want to default to something like poop. But... You know, I don't know. That's not always funny in every case. So instead, I think I might go with puke, because Vince McMahon thought that was funny at one point.
Yeah, he always thinks that. Well, puke is kind of funny.
And I'm pretty sure at this point Dusty still thinks it's funny. I do too. But I always hear Dusty do the, he's got a puke thing from Beyond the Mat. So I think the word puke is good. Because the funny thing is it could be a verb too, but it's a noun in this case.
Yes, that is a very true statement.
Okay.
Just like you could use a deer as a noun, and you could use it as a plural noun. Same
word. That's right.
part of the body, plural.
Plural part of the body.
Yes.
Let's see.
For some reason, it's plural noun, but then they do part of the body, plural, apostrophes.
Here's where you're going to have to put down the phone and type for a minute. In fact, here, you know what? I'm just going to type it real quick. I trust in the fact that you can spell it, but the fact that I know it off the top of my head. I'm going to
Are you going to grill a monsoon me?
The best thing ever is you said that literally a half a second before I click send on external occipital protuberances.
Yep, okie dokie. Well,
I thought about going with subscapularis, but I just decided, or I should have done patella, but whatever.
Well, we need another adverb.
Another adverb. Okay, I'm going to go with, let's see. I'm going to go with...
By the way, you did mention on Facebook that we're playing Mad Libs, right?
Oh, I will do that here in a second. I'm going to go with tightly.
Tightly.
I think it. You know, like your shoes were tied tightly. I think we're going to go tightly.
Yes. Plural noun.
A plural noun. Okay. A plural noun. Jesus. Neatly trimmed beards.
Okay, beards.
Beard, there you go. That's fine.
Yeah, no, I mean, you just get a noun. You don't get a couple of adjectives in front of
that's
it.
That's true. I am trying to force other parts of speech into this. That's not fair.
Yeah. No shoehorning.
Okay.
Part of the body, plural.
Another one. All right, well, let's go with patellas then.
Patellas. All righty. And this one, I could have filled it out earlier. Your name. So we got Eric.
Okay.
Noun.
Another noun. Let's see. Give me a second. This. I don't know. God, that's the thing. I hate the fact that nouns trip me up so much. Like, there's so many to choose from. And there are so many that just...
It's like adverbs, there's like, I know like 12 of them, so it's just like I always reuse those ones.
Right. So you want a noun?
Yeah, and not to put too much pressure on you, but this will also be the next word on top of it.
Oh, gosh. I'm going to say meat.
Meat?
Meat. Like I cooked some meat for dinner.
Alrighty. Well, then we got the double meat then.
Sounds like something Jim Cornette would eat.
Oh, he certainly looks like he's been eating meat, and more meat.
Oh, Jesus. People on the street eating chicken and meat. People eating bacon all across the nation.
Oh, this is just embarrassing. Adjective.
This kind of is. An adjective? Okay. How about lousy?
Alrighty. Another adjective.
Another adjective. Oh, for Christ's sake. Another adjective. How about overrated?
variety noun.
Another noun. God, these are ridiculous.
This is the next to last word.
Next to last word for noun. Let's see. For some reason, I just thought back to. Okay, a long train of thought. I'm not going to make you follow it, but for some reason, I just thought of the word sock.
Sock. Alrighty. Last word is a verb.
A verb. Okay. Man, we got to end this one with a bang here. Oh, hold on a second. Why did
Wait,
that...
Oh. Sock, bang, are you trying to be Mick Foley?
Yeah, no, hell no. Okay, so we need a verb, huh? Fuck
yep.
Mick Foley. let's see. What would it be called if... Mick Foley talks, but he talks about himself all the time. What would be a verb to describe that? Like, pontificate? Or, no, I don't like that one.
Yeah, no, pontificate isn't really what he's doing. I mean...
Yeah, he's just being an egotist.
He's looking more for, like, a self... self-loving, maybe?
Yeah, there you go. I'm sure he probably did a lot of that, too, and it's no wonder he kept a sock in his pants. Fucking weirdo. Let's see. A verb? Interrupt.
Interrupt?
Yeah. Why not? There's a weird one.
Yeah, hey, I mean, I say that ends things with a bang. And
all right.
Now that I have all of your words here, the first, the very first Mad Lib is, I want to be a WWE superstar.
Oh, for God's sake, okay.
When I grow up, I want to be a WWE pillow.
Okay.
I know I can eat off the ropes like Rey Mysterio and talk eagerly into the microphone like John Cena.
No way. Oh, wait.
Yeah.
No, talk wasn't one of my words, was it?
No, talk was not, but talk eagerly.
Eagerly.
Was your word.
Oh, for God's sake. I wish I would have thought of tone deaf. Tone deafly.
I can see it now. The eagerly lights. What? Hold on. No. Oh, I'm sorry. Now, the portly light.
What? Okay.
The nervous fans. And the wild sledgehammers.
Okay, that's terrible. All right.
When I enter... the Super 8 to my theme song, Here Comes the Puke. The crowd will get up on their external occipital protuberances and cheer tightly. I will wear a brightly colored mask and spandex pants with beards sewn on to put the fear into the patellas of my opponent.
Nice.
They'll call me Eric the Meat. Because every time I win a match, I steal my opponent's meat.
Wait, say that again.
Oh, that was perfect. You're a meat.
Say that sentence again, please.
Oh. They'll call me Eric the Meat Thief because every time I win a match, I will steal my opponent's meat.
Wait, I will. You
are going to be castrating people in the ring. You sick fuck.
I'm going to be stealing their meat.
You are going to be stealing their meat. You're going to make everyone in the WWE a eunuch.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, what are you going to do if you have a female opponent? Are you going to chop off her boobs?
Whatever it takes.
Oh, okie dokie. Isn't that a lousy idea?
Yes,
in fact, it is a lousy idea. We stumbled onto brilliance.
No, that's fucking great.
And I'll be so strong and fast and overrated that I'll beat any sock anytime.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I will.
I'm so excited I can hardly interrupt. Of course, I'll have to wait until I finish fifth grade.
Oh, for God's sake.
So, we're supposed to be in the fifth grade if we're doing this, evidently.
Apparently. Oh, my God, dude. That might be one of my favorite Stump Granny segments of all time. Oh, my God. Next time I get a reservation at a Super 8, I'm going to enter the Super 8 to my senior that here comes the puke. And I'm going to be wearing spandex with beards sewn off of them. And then I'm just going to kick down someone's door and steal their meat.
You're a meat thief.
What a fucking lousy idea. Oh, my God. Oh, that's fantastic. Oh, God, that makes me happy. That's fucking great.
Oh, man.
God. I hate to do this to you at this point. This is fucking so hilarious, but I'm almost wondering if we should just end on a high note and call this a show.
Oh, yeah, no, fuck that. Yeah, no, we are not going anywhere else. We're not beating that. So let's just go out on that note.
There you go.
I have no qualms with ending this thing. So considering that I'm already drinking my Sippy Time beer, night grandkids, and I'll let Eric sign off.
All right, sounds good. So let me try to remember all the stuff that Jeremy does on a regular basis. Let's see. If you are listening to this on iTunes, thank you. And you can, of course, always check it out at stuntgranny.com. If you are listening to the show on stuntgranny.com, feel free to subscribe to us on iTunes. We're all four on Twitter as well. Dusty is at DustyDBank. Kevin is at DeFrango11, Jeremy is at Granny Maze, and I usually just use the Stunt Granny account so as not to expose myself in my professional world as the wrestling fan that I am. My gosh. Otherwise, yeah, thank you to, of course, .net for all the good news and PWTorch.com for all the good news. And I don't know what to say after all this other than for Kevin DeFrango, for the rest of the Stunt Granny crew, and for the guys who created WWE Mad Libs, thank you so much. And we will, as Dusty likes to say, try to do better next time. Peace and chicken grease.
Thank you.